We've been looking at a series called, we've been looking at our relationship series for the past few weeks. Last week, we continued from one that we're looking at the previous week, which had 10 questions about pre-marital relationships, but I got to question 7, the last time. So I just said, you know what, if I carry on like this, we're not going to finish. So I just amended it from 10 questions to 7 questions. So what that means theoretically is that we finished that part last week at question number 7. And that's because I just want us to at least touch the other parts as well. So today we're looking at the second part of the series, and it's questions about getting married. Now, you might say, well, I'm married or so and so, and this doesn't really apply to me. But the thing is that we have people who will come to us for advice sometimes, and so these things are always good to know, even if it doesn't apply to you at this time, but it's just something for us to know. And our background, should I say, our underlining scripture, as I said at the beginning, is Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11. And in Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11, the point I made was that we're not just looking at relationships as, or should I say, we're not looking at relationships in isolation. So it's not just, okay, you and somebody else, or, and that's where it ends. We're looking at what God actually feels about relationships as well. And the point I made at the beginning, and that I made last week, was that this holds true for everything that we get involved in. This is God's heart towards us. So when God begins to say a number of things in the Bible about relationships or about anything, this is the underlining scripture that I'm using I'm basing it on. And it says here, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." So I identified a number of things in this scripture as underlining relationships. And I said, the first is that God has a plan for you. So every relationship you get into or that you're involved in needs to be in line with God's plan, because God's plan is eternal. That plan that God made for you about your life predates your birth. So the point I made was the fact that one of the things in God's plans for us, for every individual, is that He wants us to prosper. And prosperity in this context means to flourish. So any relationship that one gets into, He wants you and I to flourish in that relationship, number one. The other thing as well, He says, and plans not to harm you. He doesn't want any relationship that we get into to harm us in any way, physically, emotionally, or otherwise. And He says, plans to give you hope. Every relationship we get into, God doesn't want it to destroy the hope that He has for every one of us. He doesn't want the relationships we get into to make us or to bring us to a place of hopelessness. Do you understand? And the other one is that He has a future. So God has a bright future for every single person. And it concerns Him, and it's very dear to His heart, that future that He has for us, we attain that future. So this is the underlining thing to say, look, all the things that God says about relationships, is they're really so that we can fulfill the destiny that He has called us to fulfill, so that our lives can flourish, so that we don't come to any harm, and that we get to the future that He's planned for us. So that's kind of like the underlining factor of this relationship thing, that God is really concerned about us, and He wants us to follow follow Him as regards to this. So today we're looking at questions about getting married. I have a few questions here, but I'm not going to mention how many I have. I'm just going to go through as many as I can so that I don't get stuck in the middle and have to continue. So what I've done is I've put these in form of question form, rhetorical questions, to kind of like bring out some of things, the questions that people ask, or maybe questions that people have asked me in the past as well. So it gives us context. So the first one is this. I'll use it in the second person. Pastor Benson, can I marry someone who is not a believer, someone who is not a Christian? I'm a Christian and I believe God can change the person I marry after we get married. This person I've met is really nice and caring, and I like them, even though we don't share the same faith in Christ. So the question this person is asking is, can I marry someone who is not a believer, someone who is not a Christian? And I want us to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, to try and answer this question. It says, do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what does righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? Now, this seems quite intense. It's saying, you know, it compares the believer as light and the unbeliever as darkness. So this scripture is saying that for someone who is a Christian, you shouldn't marry someone that is a non-Christian for a lot of reasons. Now, I've met a lot of non-Christians who are not believers who are really nice, who are really well-principled. In fact, they even behave better than a lot of Christians that I know. They're very kind, they're just good. The only thing is that they're not Christians. So one might say, hang on, what's the big deal? Why can't I just marry them? I like them, they like me, and I love them, and we'll see how it goes. At least when we're together, we laugh, we have a good time and all that. So that's fine. But it's fine to, you know, like someone and, you know, have this kind of relationships in terms of friendship. Now, when it gets into marriage, it's a totally different ball game. So it begins to transcend just you guys are not, you know, you share friendship together, you know, you like each other's company. It transcends that, because when you get into marriage, you begin to make, as you guys go along, decisions. And those decisions have to be based on something. So imagine, for example, one of our sisters gets married to, well, not one of our sisters, someone gets, a girl gets married to a guy. And she's very, you know, she's passionate about Christ, passionate about her faith. And they have a slight, you know, something happens in the marriage. And she comes to her husband, who is a nice guy, but he's not a Christian at all. And she says, darling, this thing has happened. Why don't we pray about this thing together? And the guy looks and he says, hang on, what are you talking about? And she says, yes, let's pray. God will. And he looks at her and says, what are you talking about? That, you know, okay, if he's a really nice guy, God bless you, but, you know, just go and pray and I'm sure God will, you know, answer you. Question number one. So certain things will begin to happen in that marriage that a decision will need to be made. And that decision can either be made on the principles of God, or they can be made on just intuition, or they can be made on just, you know, just what that person thinks. Or let's even say there's a situation where, you know, the marriage is going through a number of challenges. What is going to keep them alive? What is going to keep hope alive in that marriage? If someone is not a Christian, the hope might not just be alive anymore. Maybe they've been looking to do something, and the girl or the guy is saying, let's pray about this. I'm sure God will sort us out in this matter. And the other person, because they're not a Christian, they're like, you know, what are you talking about? Do you understand? So at some point, there will be friction because of the faith that we both, that people have. There'll be friction. Do you understand? So, and there are so many other things as well. But God says that the option is better not to marry someone who's not a Christian. Some people might say, well, I got my husband and I, we're now married. When we got married, both of us were not Christians. And now I'm a Christian. What do I do? We'll look at that next week. But the situation I'm talking about here is someone who they're not married yet, but they're a Christian and they want to marry someone that is not a Christian. There's so many potholes in this thing. So the Bible says we shouldn't do it. Now, the next number two question is this. It says, I don't know, I'm always taking it from the angle of the women. It said, I met a guy who loves me. He wants us to get married secretly in Hawaii. He says it will be so romantic. After the marriage, we can tell our parents and tell my pastor. Wow, how exciting. Is this a good idea? That's the question here. So this person is saying, the guy has come and said, you know, I really like you, so on and so forth. This is love at first sight. I want to marry you straight away, but let's do it in a, you know, let's do it in a romantic manner. You and I will fly out to Hawaii, sign the register there, and when we've done all those things, we can now come and tell everybody. Watch, you know, this is so exciting. What should they do? Does someone want to answer that question? Rhetorically, I know you're answering in your mind. Now, as romantic as that sounds, there's still quite a few challenges to that as well. Now, the first thing, if we look at Matthew chapter 19 and verse 5, I just want to bring something out of there, then I'll read another scripture. Matthew chapter 19, verse 5, it says, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. Now, let's look at another scripture there. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17. It says, have confidence in your leaders and submit to the authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give account, Do this so that their work will be a joy and not a burden, for that will be of no benefit to you. So the question here is, this girl is saying, should I go and marry this guy secretly as he has suggested? And once we're married in this romantic spot, then when we get back, we can tell everybody. Well, the scriptures I've just read there is that marriage is not just the guy and the girl that wants to get married. When two people get married, it's a bringing together of families. So it's not just like, you know, one's going to leave as an individual separate from their parents. Now, there are people who maybe they're in countries where their parents, or maybe they don't even have any parents. It's just them. That's a different perspective. But what we're saying here is that because of the nature of marriage, some, as a Christian, we should have someone or a group of people who have some form of care over you. Even if the person doesn't have parents and they're Christians and they go to a church. It says, one, so what I'm saying is that in the context of this, the answer is no, one shouldn't just fly off and get married secretly, because there's so many connotations to it. Imagine, as a pastor of this church now, someone grew up in this church, maybe the parents were bringing her to this church, and she now grows up and we've watched her from secondary school to university and all that, and some guy, you know, meets her somewhere, and suddenly we hear that she's married in Hawaii. It's true. And they say, oh, this is so exciting. Well, that person has to take into consideration their parents and their pastor or the people in church. Why? Because for me, this is one thing that sometimes really, really touches my heart. Because God is going to ask me one day when we all stand, and he said, that girl that went and got married in Hawaii that used to come to your church, that what happened with that? I'll just say, God, I didn't know. You didn't tell me she was going to get married. He will definitely ask me. How about her parents? The parents that have brought you up, even if you don't like your parents, they brought you up, you know, to a point. So the thing is, even if one wants to have a romantic wedding, it's not, one needs to be mindful that it's not just you and that person. At least you came from a family or from a church, and that should be, you know, that should be taken into consideration as well. So that's the kind of like the spiritual part. Then how about the other part? Do you know that if one is going to get married, some guy approaches you as a girl or vice versa, and you don't really know them per se. Maybe you even go to the same church and you met in church and all that, and you guys, and you know, this person proposes to you and they want to do it secretly. There's nothing like that, because when someone comes, you need to check them out. In fact, you need to investigate them. It sounds a bit funny. Yeah, you need to investigate them. So, for example, if someone comes, okay, maybe I shouldn't be saying this. Someone comes that they want to marry my daughter in the future. Praise the Lord. But you know what I'm going to do? I'll sit them down and say, okay, no problem. God bless you. Obviously, my daughter will be there. So I'll ask them, so do you have any criminal records? Why are you laughing? Or even if they don't answer that kind of question, it seems a bit awkward. Let me ask you guys a question. I don't know if anybody does this, but it depends. I don't know if you do it or not. Someone says something about someone. What do? You go to where? Google, and you type, pa, 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 pa. I want to know about this person. Or you go to their Facebook page. You know what I mean? So, you need to find, it sounds a bit, you know, harsh, a bit, oh, come on, that's so, no. You find out, do they have any criminal record? Have they been jailed in the past? What's their credit record like? Are they debtors? Have they, I'm going to explain why. It sounds funny. Are they debtors? Do they have a bad credit history? Are they registered with the police? Have they committed any? Then you ask the people that went to school with them, what was this person like in school? Even if they are born again now. So that if, as a woman, you're going to marry someone, even if it says, yeah, I've been to jail, my credit record is bad, or whatever, you need to know those things so that you can make an informed decision. Do you get what I mean? So all these things might seem like, oh, you know, you want to find out. You want to find out, is the person in the cult? Yeah. Is the person in the cult? Are they in Freemasonry? Are they in all these things? So you want to investigate them. Because when you get into marriage, that's it. It's not an easy thing. You can't just, it's not like, you know, is it really, you're living with someone, you're going to, so you need to investigate them. So all this secret stuff, it doesn't happen. You should, they need to be properly investigated. So what I'm just saying is that all this secret stuff, it's romantic, that's fine, but marriage is not a life thing. So people need to be in, they need to go through background check so that you can know what you're getting into. All right, so that's the second question. The third question is this. Pastor Benson, there's a brother in church who is really nice and he wants to marry me. When I asked him what he does, for a living, he said that he's not working at the moment. He says he doesn't believe in 9-to-5. He's working on his career as a singer and some other stuff. He said, after we get married, he'll move into my apartment so he can concentrate his, he will move into my apartment because he's staying with his friends at the moment. But once he hits it, he says, we'll be made for life. I won't have to work. I won't have to do anything. So this person has asked a question. And the question they asked is, a guy came to them and said they want to get married. And it's like, okay, no problem. So what do you do? And says, oh, I'm not a 9-to-5er. I'm a singer and I'm working on a deal. Where do you live? Oh, I'm living with my friends at the moment. So when we get married, where are you going to live? And the guy says, don't worry. You have a flat at the moment. You don't have. Okay, you rent the flat. I don't have money at the moment. I'm working on a deal. And once that deal hits through, you're made for life. I'll become a millionaire. And all, and you know, just, you just be, you know, so just, and you now say, okay, no problems. What are your plans? And all they're telling you is that they're working on a deal. There are some deals that they're working on and they don't believe in 9-to-5. What you want to just tell that gentleman is this. Genesis chapter 2 verse 15. Genesis chapter 2 verse 15. It says something about a man that wants to get married. It says, the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. So what this is saying is that as a man that wants to get married, that man needs to get a job. even if he wants to hit it in the future and he's working on a deal, he needs to get a job to support his wife. Now, there might be people who, a guy might be unemployed at the moment, I'm not saying that, and he's looking for work. But I'm talking about a guy who says, I don't want to work, I just want to try and, you know, work on some deals and all that. Do you understand? So this is saying that for a man who wants to get married, or for any girl that is going to get married to a guy, that guy needs to have some sort of income. He needs to get a job, even while he's waiting to hit it. Do you get what I mean? Because if that guy doesn't have a job, and I'm not talking about maybe he's out of work and is looking for work, but he's of the perspective that he's not a 9-to-5er and he wants to just hit a deal, then there'll be certain problems. Because after such a guy gets married to the girl, maybe you guys, they go to Nando's for the first weekend, they go on all these romantic trips and all that thing from the money this guy has saved. When that money finishes, it's going to be that guy and that girl at home, married. That's when you will know that marriage is not just about going to the movies and all that, because someone has to pay the bills. Someone has to feed somebody. Someone has to get some, you know what I mean? So what this is saying is that for any guy that's going to get married, that guy should go and get a job. So any girl that's going to get married, you need to marry someone who doesn't hold that perspective. And there's another part in the Bible in 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 8. 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 8. It says something there. It says, anyone who does not provide for their relatives, especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So God takes it very seriously that a man should provide for his house. And he says, if that man is a believer and he refuses to do that, God even says, look, that guy is worse than an unbeliever. So in this instance, this guy needs to get a job. Then he can come back and talk to this girl. Do you get what I mean? So that's the Bible's perspective. Now, the fourth question is this. What is the recommended Bible-based way of choosing a spouse? It says, what is the recommended Bible way of choosing a spouse? So that's the fourth question. So how does the Bible represent recommend that one should go about looking for a spouse or choosing a spouse? Let's look at Genesis chapter 2 verse 22. Genesis chapter 2 verse 22. And it says that then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. If you look at Genesis chapter 2 verse 23. Genesis chapter 2 verse 23. So the next part said, the man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. So we see here that God was the matchmaker here. That God formed the woman out of the rib of the man and brought her to the man. Do you understand? If we look at Proverbs chapter 19 verse 14. Proverbs chapter 19 verse 14. It says, houses and wealth are inherited from parents, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. If we look at Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22, it says, he who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. So in terms of the how we go about looking for a spouse or someone that we're going to get married, the first thing is, one, having it at the back of our minds that God is the one that we should rely on to get our spouse. So what this is saying is that, look, we need to put God in the picture of this and ask God to help you to bring to... It sounds a bit funny. You ask God, now God, I'm ready to get married. Can you please get me a husband or a wife? And you'll be shocked. God is the best matchmaker. So in doing that, that's the first thing that one wants to do. One wants to commit the whole matter into God's hands. And relax once you've committed it into God's hands and you step back and watch God do his work. I know there's some sisters who are, you know, maybe Christian sisters, and they want to get married, and they go, someone invites them to a church, and they're like, okay, they moved to a new city, and it's like, you know, come to our church, at least you're looking for a church. And these sisters, some of them, because they're looking for like a suitable person, so they come to a church and they will scan the church. How many men are here? They won't tell you that. How many men are here? How many men are here? That one is married. That one is 10 years old. There are no men here. This is not, it sounds funny. There are no men here. I'm off. Off to the next church. They will now go to a church that maybe have loads of men. And what they're doing, I'm not saying it's a bad thing, is they're making their choices based on what they can see. Meanwhile, the person that God has for them might not even be in that church at all. Do you understand? They might not even be in that church at all. I mean, I remember when I got married, the church that I got born again in, that I used to go to, there were thousands of people in that church. Loads of young people my age. It must have been about 3,000 people in that church. And I'll tell you, at least 2,000 of the people in the church were around my age group. Do you understand? Loads of young people there. Loads, you know what I mean? But the thing is that when I was going to get married, my wife was in one church like this. One church somewhere that was like, but our paths just crossed. Do you understand? I know other people that maybe they met at a wedding by chance, and it was just, nobody should look in any direction. Look at me, please. And it was just a random occurrence. You know, apart from those people that they were there when their wife was born. I'm not talking about those people. So what I'm just saying is that sometimes we make these moves on our own, and it's like, you know, let me make the move. You can make the move. God isn't saying don't make the move, but there's a better move you can make. And that move is saying, you know what, God? You know the kind of person I like. You know, I'm ready to get married. And let God organize the thing for you. Do you get what I mean? So what I'm just saying is that God can organize for you to meet the person that you're going to get married to in a very unexpected manner. Do you understand what I mean? And not us trying to make it happen. So that's just something that we should be mindful of. Amen. All right, I think I'm just going to stop there today. Maybe in the future I'll go through some of the other things as well. But what I'm just saying today is that, look, in terms of when one wants to get married, the moral of the story is this. God knows you. God knows the person that you like. And let God help you. Do you understand? That's the moral of the story. And I can tell you, God knows every single thing. Some people will say, oh, how about if God brings me someone that I don't like? Maybe, you know, it does happen. It's like, ah, I don't want that, you know, God doesn't know my taste. I don't want any of those sisters that just are so, no. I want, God knows you. Why? Because we read in Genesis chapter 2 that when God brought Eve to Adam, Adam said, paraphrasing, wow. He shouted, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Do you get what I mean? So what I'm saying is that God will not bring someone to you that you're going to get married to that you're not attracted to or that you don't like. He will bring someone that you like. All right? Okay? So we'll stop there. Let's just pray this morning.